So, don't you think this was an interesting story from the gospel? Jesus, 12, in his day and age, getting ready when he was 13 to become a man in the Jewish faith. We still do that today. Jewish folks still do that today. Boys and girls celebrating their bar or bat mitzvah about the time they turn 13. It's similar to what we do in confirmation. So these great words of Mary, her probably longest speech, straight from the heart. What? You can just imagine what this sounded like. What are you thinking? And Jesus, in his curiosity, is really just kind of being curious about things that are going on. And you know, kids about 12, their world starts to open up for them, and they start to get curious about how things work, and they have all sorts of questions about justice and peace, and what do you mean about that? And it makes for some lively conversations. And I'm sure Jesus didn't think much at all about the rest of what was going on, like mom and dad being nervous about where he was for 3 days lost. Woo-wee, that would have been a long walk home. But he was curious, and that curiosity, that questing for knowledge is something that's very important. The other thing, too, is this isn't Jesus being a rebellious kid. He's doing a little bit of that, but there's a beautiful, tender point in this passage that talks about Jesus returning with them and being obedient to them. Now that's the root of obedience, is listening. And in that listening, he grew in grace and favor, both in human and divine aspects. So this is a child that went home and continued to be curious as Mary and Joseph taught him in the wisdom and the way of life. We should all have that curiosity, that openness, that sense of vulnerability to the gospel, to the good news, to the word of God, the presence of God in our lives. So how do you grow in grace and favor? How do any of us do that? Paul has given us that answer in the book to the Colossians when he says, be compassionate, be kind, be humble, be meek, be patient. These are considered virtues of Christ. They're also called in other places the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then they add two because they like a number seven. But these virtues of good human living that also reveal the divine. So if I just waltz through these five things, I'll tell you this. When I was here preaching on Christmas, I said to celebrate Christmas every day by telling somebody that you love them. And then somebody said I could get in trouble if I did that, right? Yes. So we're going to cover these today with a little bit more, but they fit in with the same kind of deal. You know, if you're looking for another New Year's resolution, take home this scripture and use Colossians as a daily kind of what am I going to be today? Kind and compassionate and humble and patient and meek. So let's go through those things. To be compassionate is to be able to see somebody who is suffering, whether that's hungry or homeless or distant or broken or somebody suffering, and to see and be aware of that, but also to want to do something about it. That's where the compassion comes in. It's an awareness, but also an action. So that if you see somebody hungry, and there's lots of ways to be hungry, not just for food, would you do something about it? So a compassionate person sees somebody that's hungry and offers them something to eat. Or if they are hungry for you know, just needing some human connection, the compassionate person says, hello, how are you today? Compassion is the ability to see someone suffering in need and do something about it. The opposite of compassion is really indifference. And when you look at it that way, you kind of think, there are a lot of people in the world that have grown indifferent, calloused, hardened heart. Well, we can't be that way. We have to always put in our minds that we have to open our hearts to our brothers and sisters and to help them along as best we can. That's compassion. Kindness, I'm going to call public love. The reason why I do it that way is when I was in school, you know, you can't have you can teach social values, but you can't teach religious concepts. And that's a fine thing. That's okay. I was in a public school. So, you know, I'd love to be able to say to all my kids, you know, you need to learn how to love one another. But that doesn't, you can't do that. So the way you do it is to say, this is the social value, which is all right, is to say, be kind to one another. That's why I mean that it's a public expression. Kindness is an expression of love, but it's a little easier, more operational in definition if I say, go be kind. You're still loving people, but it's a little easier for you to take in and for me to take in when I say, go be kind. It's a loving action. So, you know, I'm not amending my Christmas resolution to say to people that I love them. But another aspect of that is to say that I am kind to them. The opposite of kindness is mean. Now, if you read the headlines, you know there's a lot of mean in the world. And that means that we need a lot of kindness. So to be kind. Then there's humility. And we begin to kind of trip up on this one and meekness, because humility sounds like, false humility sounds like this, oh, I'm such a poor worm of an individual, and I'm just so awful, and I'm just so bad, and I'm so terrible, and that's all false. Humility really is the acceptance of who we are as God has made us, not to be more or less, and most of the time, we get tripped up in that. So to be truly humble is to accept us ourselves for who we are and to nurture and appreciate the gifts that God has given us. That is to be humble. The opposite of humility is arrogance. And you know what that looks like? Again, read the newspapers. We've got a lot of people that are really arrogant, that the only thing they see is themselves. And the only thing that's important in the world is whatever it is that they want. Humility is accepting of self and knowing who we are. In a way of saying that in our family, we are brothers and sisters. We are not more than brothers and sisters. We are not less than brothers and sisters. We have to be aware of that. We are in this community. We are brothers and sisters. To be humble is to know, I am your brother. You are my brothers and sisters. That is humility. Meekness is another one that trips us up, because we think meek means submissive or passive or weak or, you know, the wallflower or whatever. You know, words change in meaning. 2,000 years ago, to be meek was a great virtue. And what it meant was, if I can describe it this way, is with grace under pressure. So I had an aunt, my cousin, by the way, is visiting today, so she'll know the aunt that I'm talking about. But I had an aunt who was a school nurse, and she always seemed to me to have grace under pressure, that in the middle of whatever was going on with her, you can imagine being a school nurse, all the crazy things that happened, She always had a kind word, and she never got ruffled. Now, I'm sure she did, but I never saw it. So I'm not, you know, she wasn't a saint. She could be. I'd be happy to nominate her. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, she was a real person. She did get angry, and she got frustrated and stuff like that. But she always seemed to have just the right way to moderate a situation that was difficult. She had a lot of grace under pressure. No one ever doubted how strong my aunt was in any situation, even though she was graceful in it. So to be meek is not to be weak. It is to be strong and being able to kind of let some situations go so that they don't get worse. The opposite of meek is aggressive, the person that always wants to stand forward and get into it. Now, sometimes we do have to stand up for ourselves. That's being assertive. Meekness is the ability to be strong and to say, if I get into this right now, it's not going to help. So think of this. When you're at Costco and 50,000 people have decided to go shopping today and there's somebody behind you, well, first of all, the person in front of you has finally figured out they have to show their card, and then they have to find their purse or wallet, and then they you know how that goes sometimes, and you think, that's patience. I'm going to get to that one. Meek is when you stand there and the person behind you bumps you with their cart, laden with things, and you want to turn around and, well, you're not going to make it better if you get aggressive. You got my point? So I try to model myself after my aunt, who would know it's just better sometimes to let things go. She would probably turn around and say something in absolute sweet kindness, and it would sound something like this. Oh, you might not have noticed that you bumped me with your cart. You would also hear, if you do it one more time, okay, so meek. Patience. Patience means to suffer along with or suffer through. It's a way of saying to persevere. We in our society and culture want things right now. Right now. And sometimes we can't do that. Patience is like a gardener that plants the tulip bulbs and hopes the voles and the moles and all the other things don't eat them and waits for them to blossom. We have to learn how to be patient, that we as brothers and sisters need time sometimes to grow and step up into a different way of being in the world. Patience. We have to have these things. So if I run back through them again, compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Imagine our world. Imagine our city. Imagine our community. Imagine our family. If we took it upon ourselves today to practice those five virtues, think of what the world would look like with just a little more compassion, just a little more kindness, just a little more humility, just a little more meekness, just a little more patience. I know my life would be better, and I have to do it. So this is no secret to anybody who knows me, so I'm going to just tell you. You know, I look at those five things, and I want those five things in my life, and I'm working towards them. But I have to be honest with you, it's a long road. I don't want to give up on him, though. That's how I'm practicing patience for myself, that I learn compassion by being compassionate. I learn meekness by learning to stand down, to be strong, and just weather through some things. I learn these virtues by practicing them, and I'm not there yet. I am not there yet, but I'm working on them. That's the best that I can do. I think it's the best that all of us do, but we have an idea. So, accept my challenge, or not. You know, we're Anglicans, some can, all can, some will, none must. You know how that all goes. But, you know, if you're looking for a little New Year's resolution, take home this reading, or take one of those words. They're all aspects, really, of love. Just take one of those words and say, today I'm going to be more fill in the blank. All right? Okay. Good job. Now, I'm going to do one last thing. This is not part of my sermon. This is about communion. You know, we've kind of changed the way we did communion, and there's a lot of reasons for it. I'd be happy to explain it to you. But one of the things that I want to tell you about, this is in a practical matter, is that when we receive the wine, sometimes we're used to having some folks will hold the bottom of the chalice and kind of tip it to us. And it's sometimes that works if we're about the same height or if the person receiving is a little bit shorter than we are. But if they're taller, this becomes very difficult, okay? So I'm just going to offer you another way of doing this, which is all can, some will, none must, right? Is that we can hold the chalice around the big knobby thing that's in the center and tip the chalice, and people receiving can also take the chalice and help themselves. And sometimes that's a little easier to do. So is everybody okay with that? Again, all can, some will, none must. What we're trying to do, though, is kind of avoid a tip when somebody is too tall. So, all right, I've done my liturgical instruction. Let us be compassionate and kind, humble, meek, and patient with each other.